time last year, I was at the lowest point in my life. I would just stay at home the entire day. I would stay awake. I would stay asleep throughout the morning, but throughout the night. I just waste my time on the internet, whether it be the impermissible watching Haram, whether it be gaming, whether it be wasting your time on social media and stuff like that. I would neglect my parents. I would completely cut off my friends. I would completely abandon ibadah, whether it be Salah, Quran. I knew Allah that I was watching, and I knew I was about to bring up the fire, but I just didn't care about anything anymore. And I know I'm standing up here, and you're just thinking to yourself, who's this loser up there that's talking about these things? But I wasn't always like that. That I came from a good home in America. I had good parents, alhamdulillah. I had a nice upbringing. I grew up right next to the masjid. I had kids throughout middle school in about 2 to 3 years. And then went to a good Islamic high school in America as well. And I was taught from a class over there. And I went to a good well-ranking college and completed a degree in computer science and decided to pursue an Arab course as well. I was actually on the top of my class in an Arab course as well. But what happened was that there was some unresolved issue when I was much younger. During my middle school and kids days, that whenever I was bored, I would just go on the internet or spend time on my uncle's home. And it was just simple, just simply playing games and stuff like that. But then as time progressed and life became more challenging, and then I just started delving into more deeper things, more impermissible things. And then as life continued and life challenges became harder, and then negative emotions started growing and brewing within my heart, such as frustration and guilt and shame. And the very same thing I was causing with these issues was the same very same thing I was using to cope. And eventually what happened was that this continuous cycle, this destructive cycle would continue on, so on and so forth. For example, when I was in high school, alhamdulillah, I don't say these things to brag, but I say these things to present the reality of my situation. I present the reality that many other people may face as well. That alhamdulillah, I was on top of my class for the first 2-3 years. But in the fourth year, when things became overwhelming and I didn't know what to do with my future, I delved into the internet. I delved into wasting my time and delved into remaining heedless. And then by the end of that year, I was one of the lowest scoring students in the grade. And the same in college as well. Alhamdulillah, in the first 3 years, I was a 4.0 GPA. But then last year, things became overwhelming as well. And I just delved into heedlessness into the internet, was wasting my time and walking halal, so on and so forth. And by the end of the year, I just had to drop classes. And I ended up scoring just like B's and C's. And actually, when I came to madrasa as well, I had that resolution to change my life. So I pursued with diligence whatever I could throughout Alam course. That I would attend every salah and jama'ah, but be Fajr and Isha. That I would always be on time in my classes. I wouldn't miss a day of school. That I was one of those students that the uncles talk about in the back of the masjid, bohot accha bachcha hai. Or I'd be the one that was always in the front stop. But then by my, alhamdulillah, I was on the top out of 60 students. But then my second year, things fell off completely. I would miss weeks of school at a time. And instead of guilt and shame and frustration because I relapsed into my sin by the end of my first year. And so say all these things, and even though it may be cringe-worthy, and even may be embarrassing for myself, but I say all these things as a warning to the students over here, or the teachers, or the parents, that regardless of how well-liked you may be, and regardless of how praiseworthy your exterior may be, regardless if you're deen dawami, or regardless if you're known as that kid who has a perfect Quran recitation, or regardless if you're that kid who is acing all of his studies, regardless of all of that, if you continue with an addiction to sin, and you continue being heedless and negligent of what you're doing when you're private, then Allah Ta'ala will ruin your faith, and Allah Ta'ala will ruin your life as well, as a result of your own actions. And so alhamdulillah, with all every disease that is here, and every ailment, every difficulty, Allah Ta'ala gives some ease. And for me, alhamdulillah, is through Mawlana Yusuf and his institution, Darul Islam Reformation Center. Alhamdulillah, I spent about 5-6 months there and continue my time over there as well. Alhamdulillah, has given a lot of attention, a lot of advice, a lot of program that he attended, and a lot of time to like reflect and think and meditate upon what I was doing throughout my life. And essentially, I forgot who I was, and I forgot how to be a human, and I forgot who Allah Ta'ala Azza wa Jalla was as well. So as a final note, whoever is consumed by any addiction, whether it be the internet, whether it be anything else, always don't let frustration or guilt or shame consume you to isolate yourself as it did with me. But rather let it motivate you to seek help to the ulama and to the scholars and those people who are designated and accomplished in the field of addiction, so you can seek help. Because nobody knows when they're gonna die. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took my life 6 months before, I wouldn't know where I would end up in the afterlife.
Inclination towards haram and inclination towards halal. In this year, Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahimahullah mentions regarding Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayhi Ruhul Ma'ani, that why did Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mention the inclination of evil first? Because many a time you and I think that when Allah has created us and put us in this dunya, then it is that a man at any given moment and every time must all the time be inclined towards that which is in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he wrote on there, and he mentioned, he said that if Allah did not create the fuel within that person to become the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal, then how will it be tomorrow that a man will be crowned with the crown of wilayah? So nevertheless, a man from the tribe of Al-Aila Juhayna or Muzayna comes to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He questions regarding this verse. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that bal shay'un qad qudiya alayhim, and everything has been preordained, and I will prove this from the Quran and Majid. Man kana Allahu khalqahu li ihda al-manzilatayn يهيئه لها وتصديق ذلك في كتاب الله عز وجل ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها. The question is then posed to the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if it is that my inclination is towards that which is haram or towards either that which is in the obedience of Allah azza wa jal, and it has already been preordained, and why is it that I will be questioned about it for my actions? So the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions this ayat of the Quran Majeed, wa nafsihum wa ma sawaha fa alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha. Then Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu mentions furthermore on the tafsir of this ayat, that whenever the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached this part, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make the following dua. Allahumma aati nafsi taqwaha, anta waliyuha wa mawlaha, wa khayru man zakkaha. He would make dua for the purification. And who is making this dua? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find ourselves in a zamana. On a lighter note, what we will be discussing, I would like the topic to be able to sum it up as quick as possible. Sometimes when we mention these topics and these discussions, it must not be that people misinterpret us or myself to be an ambassador for AI or for smart technology. They say the Maulana is very clever. They say, Maulana Sahib, anything you give him to do, he can advertise it for you also. One occasion someone came to the Alim and said, Hazrat, I want you to give a bayan. I got a new business that's opening. They said, Shalom, no problem, what business? He said, hardware. So Hazrat spoke about Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam. Started speaking about various Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, about the benefits of being a Najjar, a carpenter, where you must buy your tools, and then he advertised the hardware company. So after some time he told us, he said, Maulana, you see, you, every time I sell something, I give you 50% advertising the bayan. After some time he came to Maulana, he said, Maulana, I'm opening a cinema. You need to give a bayan about it, advertise it to me. Maulana Sahib was sitting, got a little problem now, doesn't know what to do. So how will I advertise the cinema? He said, Maulana, I'll increase it to 75%. Maulana said, Chalo, no problem. Maulana went Jumma time, he gave bayan. Whole bayan he gave on the harms of photography and the evils of big gatherings. And right at the end of the bayan he said, but to aap bero kuflo ke, you people are very foolish. Still to tonight the cinema that's open, you'll all go and watch. So don't misinterpret what I'm saying to be an advertisement towards AI or an advertisement towards smart technology. We have come in a zamana wherein the people themselves who have introduced us into the zamana themselves are lost. There is a certain titan, and if you look it up, you'll find it's called the black box in AI. So the black box in AI means your artificial intelligence that would come together in the likes of Gemini, etc. And in Google itself, there are many others as well. And one of them being Genius Minds, the CEO of which is one of the stakeholders of the Google multi-million dollar enterprise, who himself in his writings emphatically states that himself is an atheist. So nevertheless, they themselves have then written that how is it that this knowledge is able to accumulate the knowledge of this dunya? There's a whole write-up on it, on how it gathers your algorithms, facial recognition, fingerprint recognition, ID numbers, etc. And how it is then stored into a separate vault, and a man, based on what he is able to type, will be picked up exactly on where he lives, who he is, and what he does, and how much he earns also. So they write underneath the harm, the whole thing itself they have, but they write underneath this part of the black box that we ourselves created a monster, and we are unable to ascertain how it is that this monster is able to acquire such knowledge. As I've spoken before, and we will mention to you three harms. This is over and above. Well, this is over and above what is obvious is the fact that the spiritual harm that will come with a person who has an inclination towards smart devices, etc. Three things that the World Health Organization have picked up within this entire sphere of social media addiction. Number one is anxiety and depression. We will explain how does that come. Number two is what is termed and called a separation gap. And number three, which we may be familiar with or not, is FOMO, fear of missing out. Anxiety and depression. A man goes behind closed doors. His mind has not been developed, meaning his prefrontal lobe has not been developed to the extent to be able to capacitate that amount of light and that amount of social feed that is coming in. So a man starts having what is called dopamine loops within his brain. So his neural pathways now automatically are not integrated correctly. His reward-seeking pathway, which is the GABA response, which allows the brain to then transmit different neurons to different parts of the brain, this gets interrupted. So a man who after a hard days of work, 8 hours, 12 hours, doing Ibadah, doing Quran, doing whatever it may be, he comes home. The moment he jumps into bed, and he says, I just want to check my WhatsApp message. His master and his purpose was to check his WhatsApp message. Or maybe I want to change my tahajjud alarm. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour. He forgot why he went onto the phone in the first place. I was supposed to respond to one message, I was supposed to put my tahajjud alarm. Now, because of the interference in the man's dopamine, it is automatic that that man now has a heightened response. Whereas his brain was supposed to have switched off. Melatonin was supposed to have kicked in. He was supposed to have rested and now went to sleep. His dopamine spike came up. Because of that, the man has an imbalance. He comes to madrasa the next day, he comes to Fajr Salah the next day, but there is a complete and total interference that is going on in the person's brain. Because of the sleep deprivation and the delirium that is going on within a person, constantly scrolling on social media, he falls into anxiety and depression. Then what has my life become in comparison to the social media icon? The next part is that which is called a separation gap. The separation gap is something where a man who is posting on social media will never post the bed of his life. Will post, I visited a certain restaurant, I got some accolades, I bought a new shoe, I'm getting married, did something great, I made so much of millions. Last night we were at one place, so one person is walking on the phone, loudly shouting, right before last, shouting on the phone. He said, "Hazrat, I promise you I will make you 800,000 in 2 months. So the people are sitting with, so we're doing this thing, so immediately the, one of the guys said, "I guarantee you this guy is busy trying to sell forex." This is another fitnah. In itself is haram. So the separation gap, a man who suffers from FOMO and has an inferiority complex starts to post a augmented reality onto social media. The next man who is following, to him, this is a false perception of a life that I ought to live. So his understanding is now disorientated. Whereas if you understood the reality of the man who was posting, behind him there was more darkness than what you could understand. He goes to the showroom, he takes a picture of another man's car, stands in front of someone else's house, takes a picture, he posts it on social media. "Hey, oh, look at Hazrat, couldn't get 60% in maths in school. Today he's driving Ferrari and Porsche." This is not the case. The man is portraying a whole different lifestyle. Then the man who is viewing it, his perception is now augmented. When he starts to have a fear of missing out. So what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come with, a perfect deen, pure in its entirety, given to us on a golden platter, that life in itself now begins to seem bored to you and I. We start to follow social media icons. And we start to adopt the lifestyle of the social media icons. When that comes into our life, then the system of Allah is that the love of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam automatically vanishes from that person's life. These are just but a few of the harms. Another in today's time, and I will mention it here because of the fact that there are many students. We have been studying this and looking into it, and in fact it's getting more worse. One is the aspect of online gaming. So I'll just give you a brief synopsis, and like I mentioned in the beginning, please, I'm not that one other that was paid to advertise the games, online gaming. You may have heard of this, or if you haven't heard of it, then I will tell you about it, but most of you know of it already. There's a company which is called Rockstar Inc. You see the people nodding. So it is a sister company of Take-Two Interventive or Intervention or Interactive, two different names, which in itself, Rockstar Gaming, is a $23 billion net worth company which trades on the Nasdaq. And it's only but a small portion of the major stakeholders of Take-Two Interactive, which all of them by right are atheists. Look into the biography of these people who started these companies, all atheists. In 2013, they launched a game and people have been following it. So up to now, the latest release of the game has not yet come out. This is what you and I may know as Grand Theft Auto or GTA. GTA 5 came out, 2013. And Maulana FM has been speaking about virtual reality, augmented reality, etc. In the game itself, they have created a fake city. The name of the city is called Vice City. It is a copy and paste of Miami itself. 2013 was the last launch, GTA 5, which in itself skyrocketed the Rockstar to a number of $23 billion net worth, of which it still continues to make up to the day of GTA 5, $1 million daily. These were new users. They have then been tempting the rest of people that GTA 6 will come out. Why I'm speaking about it is the chase today. They have officially mentioned that the release will be in November. First they said July, people were ready, they got hyped up. They spent more than what the film industry spent on making movies. They spent approximately $2 billion to manufacture this game. They then put it on the market. The game is not yet released. People from across the world flocked and went online. Within an hour, they covered the $2 billion. And they made an extra $1 billion. And the game is not even released yet. The entire game in itself, when I was looking into the thing, they said that they have created an augmented reality to such an extent that your fictional character, who you create in the game, will go out during the day, and if he doesn't put sunblock, you get a sunburn. And if you zoom in on your camera, you will be able to see his pores and send him to the hospital for treatment also. The entire Vice City has been created for a man who has a false perception in his life to live and be like someone. So then they further wrote there that the algorithms in the game are of such a nature that if the person himself puts his controller down, and after 1 year he picks it up, if he had a court case in that augmented reality of the game, the cops will come to arrest him 1 year later if he picks that controller up because of the algorithms in the game. Such a perception the world has brought before us. Where today, you and I, and our youngsters are falling headlong into it. We will mention a few things and we will end off to be able to prevent ourselves from this. And inshallah, there will be a series of this that will continue. And Allah give jazaa khair to those people that have hosted us. And Allah may need a means to continue this, to open the Ummah's eyes. But number one is after the Isha Salat. So I'm not here to tell you about the meals, but we have brought some pamphlets. Nazr Muhammad Sahib had mentioned regarding La Hawla wa La Quwwata Illa Billah. We have some pamphlets on where a person, if he's caught up in any addiction, one time to Rude Tunjina, 500 times La Hawla wa La Quwwata Illa Billah. This is Kanzun min Kunuz al Jannah. This will hold a man back and away from the evil. No sooner, I cannot tell a man to give up his smartphone. But what I can tell you is we have heard and we have seen from people that have read Bismillah and then on their phone. A man that has read La Hawla wa La Quwwata Illa Billah and went on to his phone to do the work that was required. Allah in his system turned him away from the guna and turned the guna away from him also. So this type of pamphlets will be given out after. The second is we have prepared Quran intentions. Whenever we open our Mus'haf to make tilawat of the Quran, then part of the intention must be that Allah, through the barakah of this Quran, it was your promise that this will grant me complete and total shifa. Because of the invitation of the shaitani world that is attacking us today, it is very easy for a man to fall into the traps of shaitan. Although this had all been said, one of the reasons why we had put people to give Shahkuzari was to tell you in the very same breath that as much as the attack is there, Allah has given you and I the very same strength, if not more, to be able to come out of the guna. We have to turn fervently to Allah Azza wa Jal in dua. A set of durood sharif, take out sadaqah daily, and my plea and my cry towards parents, this ideology that you have in your mind of ulama speaking from the front and mentioning these things, thinking that it is taboo, then here's the reality check for me and for you. Some of the things that I am telling you, I learned from children that were 8 and 9 years old. Let us open our eyes. Let us make tarbiyat of our children. And let us make sure that we establish ta'alim in our home. For those who have the ability to give up smart devices, give it up entirely. For those who do not have the ability, then make sure you have certain usul and principles around it. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala guide us and protect us. Wa akhiru da'wana.